You're listening to Kaya Biz. Kaya Biz. With Kule Tumfuphi. On Kaya 959.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. And as we always do, time now to talk about all things to do with careers. And this brings us to our careers corner. And in a country like South Africa, where we're plagued by high levels of unemployment, ongoing challenges around empowering and ensuring that the youth are able to tap into new markets and new opportunities, it raises the question, what skills do we require? And this is often a question that is posed at panels and in debates and conversations about how best to deal with the unemployment challenge that we have in South Africa. And for many, they commonly say that we need digital skills, because that is essentially where we are, living in the fourth industrial revolution, where we do need to see a prioritization of technical skills and technology skills. So stay with us as our next guest is going to join us on the line this evening, Ervans Rakip. He's the head of IT at Metropolitan to tell us more about some of the key jobs that are required within the IT space.
Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
Ervans Rakip, head of IT at Metropolitan, thank you so much for your time this evening.
Good evening. Thanks. Hope you all and good evening to all the listeners.
Thanks for your time. I guess first things first, if we take a look at the current environment in South Africa, we are well aware that we've got a skills shortage, high levels of unemployment, primarily when it comes to our youth, and just a general sense of a lackluster workforce. What have your observations been, primarily when it does come to the technology and IT space in South Africa?
Yeah, so I mean, it's been my sort of personal experience as well. It's unfortunate that in an economy like South Africa, which has high unemployment rates, we still do see sort of a disinterest from the youth around sort of your math and your science subjects, specifically sort of in the computer technology space, because I think that's where there is lots of opportunity, not just locally, but internationally as well.
And maybe let's explore that, because as you say, the opportunities are not only locally, but also internationally. And many might say, hold on, but what does that entail? Because IT of today is not the IT of 1999, right? With the switch and the transition. There's a lot that's unfolded within the digital skills space. So what does it fully entail?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think as typical consumers of everyday products as well, right, we can see it ourselves. I think probably everybody in South Africa has a mobile phone, and you know, as soon as you want to do something, the first thing you do is you reach out for your mobile phone. You want to figure out what are fuel to eat today. You kind of on your app, you need to go somewhere, look for holiday. You want to do your banking. Everything is basically done through your phone with an internet connection, and I think that world is very different to the world of, as you say, like in the early 1990s, where there's still quite a lot of distrust around computer and technology. And I think, you know, it's created this sort of age, the digital age, where many businesses, even traditional businesses, are moving onto online platforms, hoping to get a digital presence in order to serve a bigger market. Mm-hmm. And it is this online community, right? So for me, and that's effectively where this increase in demand has come from for digital and technology skills, and not specifically like in the software engineering space. So I run a team, as you mentioned, I'm a head of IT at Metropolitan, which is an insurance company.
Mm.
But a lot of even in the financial service and insurance sector, there's a big dependency on IT systems to manage our various products, complex policies, managing millions of clients. And you want to be able to engage with them in a manner that is convenient to them through things like even WhatsApp and the likes. And we're also aware of the fact that people need something, the first thing, like I said, they go onto their phones, they'll search in Google, and you need to have a presence. I think you want to be relevant, you need to have a presence online. And so the skills, in demand is very much in the tech space around software engineering, and being able to build sort of websites, and it's a big realm around like data sciences as well, and a lot of the technologies that are underpinning this digital revolution.
Exactly. And that's also what I want us to explore, right? Because IT is no longer just IT and the very technical skills that we often think about, but it's really evolved where you have data analysts, business analysts, individuals who apply their minds using technology, but to really speak to the strategy of the company and how they roll it out. Help us unpack how that's changing. And even for yourself in your team, you know, how it's changed how you recruit individuals who don't just have the technical skills, but also have a great sense of applying that broadly and with empathy.
Yeah, no, that's I guess for me, as you said, in the technology landscape, there are sort of a wide range of career paths, right? And even as you mentioned, sort of analysts in the business analyst world, so these are typically people that come into an organization with a little bit of a technology background. They almost understand what systems and IT can do. And they look at various sort of processes and problems and look at how IT might be able to help solve those problems. So you definitely do get the more business-orientated, let's call it bucket of IT roles and skills, where you basically, you don't need to be able to code or be very deep technical, but you need to understand application. And you kind of go into various organizations and you look at opportunities to leverage technology to solve the problems. And then the other bucket, you probably do get the more technical guys that are actually, you know, very engineers, they're the guys that are actually writing the code and, and doing the building stuff.
Right.
And then even on top of that, like, you get, I think, you know, as an industry in general, with this advancement in technology, it's created a whole host of additional job roles and need for skills. So, you know, following on from that is things like data science. I don't know if you've ever heard of that term, but it's just this concept around being able to use lots of data and events of the past to be able to make future decisions. So there's a whole new industry that's been created around data science and understanding data and trends. So effectively, in my world, it's good, kind of all-encompassing. And I like the fact that, you know, IT is not just sort of relegated to like a corner office where you guys are just sort of engineers and both stuff. You get to be part of the conversation. To be part of solving the problem of the business.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, right? Because there's often the joke in the office that if you call the IT guys, they'll say, "Did you switch it on and off?" Right?
Yeah.
Just to make sure that your device is working properly. And it's so much more than that, you know, keeping your electronic devices on or fixing whatever technical problem it is. But it's really speaking to the overriding view and role and function of the strategy of the company and contributing positively to that. I'm keen to understand from your perspective as well, Iran, if we are seeing a greater level of appreciation of digital skills in the workforce and also greater investment in digital skills. And when I say that, I mean for someone who is typically trained in HR or finance, then being keen to learn how to code, being keen to understand how to unpack data, being keen to evaluate more about how the systems really work in order to extract that data. So how are we doing, I guess, from a skills investment point of view within certain corporates, and most importantly also seeing that transition of skills being upheld within the workplace?
So I think every business, at least, you know, as I have colleagues as well that work across different industries, but, you know, most of them are IT professionals as well. And the general trend does seem to be at least that the even uptick in the demand for IT skills. I think there has become an appreciation, you know, almost at a corporate and a business level that, you know, if you want to innovate, you have to start investing in technology. You're not going to be able to change your business model or be able to keep up with your competitors if you are not sort of investing in any sort of digital capability. And so there's definitely appreciation for the value that IT skills and technology can bring into even boardrooms, where you can be part of the conversation and be part of the strategic direction of an organization. So 100%, you know, In our world and as well, you know, as I mentioned, consulting with various sort of experts around the industry, I think everyone is seeing that same trend of companies wanting to invest in technology in order to take their business forward. You know, everyone talks about this leapfrogging concept. I think people are still looking for this opportunity to leapfrog, to innovate and move above the competitors. And obviously that's created this this demand for the skills, right? The demand for people that can solve business problems with an IT kind of perspective, people that can actually build IT systems, and people that can look after IT systems and be able to do, I guess, more of the, these modern type of things, like I mentioned about it, machine learning, data science. So definitely that's been kind of a trend for Africa and globally.
And if I can jump in there on machine learning, right? You said more modern trends, and sometimes we often associate that with a younger audience, a younger workforce. Help us dispel some of the perceptions that might exist that for someone to be adequately trained in digital skills, you need to be young and dynamic. But what about those who are still transitioning in their careers, in their 30s, in their 40s, maybe even their 50s? Is it too late for them to learn some digital skills? Or I guess is there a 101 process to enter the sphere?
No, I don't think so. So, I mean, I think with an IT job, it's very different. It's very different from professional sports, right? So if you ask me this question about from my 30s, is it too late to start playing professional rugby? Then I'm going to say yes, unfortunately. You know, your body's probably not conditioned. I think, fortunately, the nice thing with technology is that there isn't that sort of limitation. So if you are someone that is, you know, you have decent problem-solving skills, you're a guy that's fairly good at mathematics, you can pick it up, right? It's something that you can, if you're interested and you're willing to put in the effort, you can learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people that have switched careers, I've employed people that have switched careers late on in the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the opportunity. So you find people from a finance background that traditionally, you know, because they are good at numbers, they move into the data science space and machine learning. So they teach themselves a little bit how to program and they take on a whole new career. I don't think there's an age limit necessary to it. I think it's more down to the individual. You know, if you have a bit of a knack around problem solving, you're fairly decent with numbers and understanding how things fit together.
Gotcha.
You could probably take on the challenge.
I like that, and I think you've assisted us there in making the circle bigger, quite literally, and opening up opportunities for individuals who often thought, it just might not be my thing, or it might be too late for me to actually enter the sphere of technology. If you've just joined us, you are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, where our theme and topic is centered around Careers Corner. We speak into Yervan Rakip. He is the head of IT at Metropolitan, giving us some insight into some of his learnings in terms of the role and function of digitally enabled and digitally skilled individuals, and some of the key themes that they bring into the table to make it easier, essentially, to run the business and run various businesses. So we have spoken about skills. We've spoken about the ability to transition those particular skills. What I'm also keen to understand is, as you say, Yervan, in your particular role, you've hired a large and wide variety of people. And I'm keen to understand how that talent pool is evolving. I asked earlier, you know, how you recruit, and I'm sure the technical stuff does play a big role, but what other key insight can you share with us about recruiting IT staff that is equipped not only for the task, but also equipped to work with people effectively, understand the business mandate and business strategy, and implement it as such?
So, yeah, look, I think, you know, for me, I think the traditional type of, educational requirements were always held, right? So I guess 10 years ago, if I can use that as a timeline, 10 years ago, your ideal candidate was someone that did a four-year degree at a university with a computer science background, that was sort of deeply sort of engineering mindset. And definitely, you know, those are still like the type of profile that typically do well. But, you know, as there's this proliferation of new roles that are evolving, we have found that there is opportunity for not just your deep technical engineers to basically join an IT division. And the other thing, maybe related to the earlier conversation about, you know, is it too late to kind of switch?
Mm-hmm.
I think the way people are learning is also quite different, right? So I find that you don't necessarily have to, and I'm not in any way discouraging traditional education, but you don't necessarily have to do it doing something to be able to do something. You know? So I find people, and even my kids, like they watch YouTube tutorials and they figure out how to do stuff. And so there's this big movement in online learning. One of the platforms that I always sort of encourage sort of friends and whoever asks me the question to look at is a platform like Udemy. where you can basically go on and you can do these online courses. You get like short courses, you get technical courses. Even my current teams together, you know, if they need to pick up a new programming language or just learn a little bit more about a particular topic, they can go on there. You know, you're going to buy the course for a couple hundred bucks, and it's like this hands-on training. They show you how to do pretty much everything. So you can kind of learn quite a lot by these online short courses.
Got you. And I think that's important, not to overwhelm oneself, but actually find opportunities to participate in these courses and have them have a benefit in your life and your livelihood. I'm going to ask a very unfair question here, Iran, and I can imagine if some of your colleagues and peers and team members are listening, they're going to scratch their heads and listen very closely to the speaker. But remember, there was a time when the IT space was well known for positively contributing to the incomes of many South Africans, and that it's one of the most competitive spaces to be in, but also one that pays one handsomely without giving away sensitive information and too many numbers that affect your team. But help us unpack, I guess, the earning potential, especially when it comes to growth and gaining more expertise in that space. For someone who's looking to change careers, build up on their career, upskill themselves, what prospects can they look out for when it comes to the money?
Okay.
Unfair.
I would say data is like freely available, right? If you search on any careers portal for IT jobs, you can kind of see a bit of a pay range of what that pay. But look, I mean, really ballpark figure. We've had graduates that can start at a starting salary of 20,000 a month.
Okay.
And I have very senior engineers that are making up to 100,000 a month, believe it or not.
That's sort of
in South Africa. Right? I think the other nice thing about the career in IT is that, you know, you can basically live in Cape Town and you can work from a company that's in America. And you can be part of this big virtual workforce team, which is also a trend I've seen lately. IT staff, traditional IT staff, who are interested in working for global startups, not even startups, big companies, Facebook, Apple, Google, and the likes. You can basically work from home to Africa. And obviously, you earn a bit of a premium because of exchange rate in US dollars. So I think that's also created great opportunity. I mean, South Africans typically are a fund because we speak English well enough. We're able to basically work in the European and American markets and earn good money.
Got you. And that's quite important for us to be mindful of, right? The geographic location that we're in, the opportunities that exist because of how it is that we're able to communicate, and I guess being part of a global community. So that really does help there. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Iran, and also helping us unpack the opportunities that do exist when it comes to IT skills and digital skills within South Africa's business and corporate landscape.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for talking to me this evening.
Thanks for your time. That's Ervan Rakip. He's the head of IT at Metropolitan, joining us for Careers Corner this evening as we've evaluated some of the valuable career advice and, of course, opportunities for graduates within this particular sphere and space.